That's the sound of protests sparked by the death in police custody of George Floyd, which continued across the United States last night. Our Washington correspondent, Brian O'Donovan, joins us now. Brian, thanks for joining us. How bad were things overnight?
Well, it's just after 8 a.m. here on the East Coast in the U.S., David. And right now, many people across the U.S. are waking up in many cities to scenes of broken windows, burnt out buildings and cars, and graffitied walls. There were clashes between police and protesters in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Philadelphia and Atlanta. Police cars were set on fire. Tear gas and rubber bullets were used to disperse crowds. In fact, there were protests in at least 75 cities yesterday and last night. Curfews have been imposed, and the National Guard has been deployed across several states. In Indianapolis, one person was killed and three were injured when a gunman opened fire on protesters. In Los Angeles, the mayor there compared the unrest to the 1990 LA riots. In New York, an investigation is underway after two NYPD vehicles were captured on video driving into a crowd of protesters. So more scenes of unrest last night. The epicenter of all of this, of course, is Minneapolis. All of these protests sparked by the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, captured on video, a white police officer kneeling on his neck while he was lying on the ground and being arrested. Now, that police officer has been suspended. He has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. But protesters say it's not enough. They want more charges, and they want three other police officers who were suspended in relation to this incident to also be charged.
Is there a sense that the authorities nationwide aren't really in control of the situation? Because there's been lots of reports about the police dealing with protesters, even shooting, firing beanbags and rubber bullets at people who are just innocent bystanders, and indeed on members of the media.
Lots of accusations today and indeed yesterday of police heavy-handedness. And yes, as you say, we're seeing lots of these video footage of police officers opening fire with their rubber bullets and their tear gas. I saw footage this morning of a man with a cane being pushed over, other footage of a woman who didn't seem to be doing anything being pushed over. And yes, as you say, members of the media seeming to be targeted as well. There certainly is a toughening of the stance by the authorities, and we particularly saw it in Minneapolis yesterday. Again, as I described, the epicenter there. On previous nights, this was the fifth night of unrest last night in Minneapolis. On previous nights, authorities had stood back. They had allowed the protests to happen, and that had resulted in chaos. One night we saw an entire police station being burned to the ground. Last night, different tactics being used. Protesters had been warned in Minneapolis, if you come out on the street again last night, we will use force. And they did. And we saw a situation where a lot of police moved into a situation where protesters weren't necessarily misbehaving. There were peaceful demonstrations, but the authorities nonetheless opened fire with tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse those crowds. Authorities insisting as well in many cases that they know the vast majority of these protesters are peaceful and they know their intentions are good, but they are warning about that small crowd, that small number within the crowd who are intent on destruction, are intent on chaos, and give the rest of the protest group then a bad name as a result.
No activity on the president's Twitter account so far, at least this morning, which may or may not be a good thing. How does this play out politically, or does it make any difference? Because presumably supporters and opponents of Donald Trump aren't going to be affected one way or the other by his handling of the situation.
Exactly. And when Donald Trump tweets his very forceful, strong rhetoric, that would, of course, appeal to his base. And look at some of the tweets coming from Donald Trump. His most controversial so far was this tweet about looting leading to shooting, which he sent out on Friday. Yesterday, then, he started tweeting about how if the protesters had gotten over the gates of the White House, they'd have been met with vicious dogs and ominous weapons. A lot of criticism of Donald Trump's handling of all of this. I will say I thought Donald Trump did try to change the tone and try to soften things a little last night following that historic space launch by NASA and SpaceX. Donald Trump stood up to make a big speech to celebrate this space launch. But he said, before I talk about the launch, I want to talk about George Floyd. And he spoke about how the nation was hurting, and he spoke about how healing was needed and people were angry and were looking for justice. But he appealed for calm. And I think we saw that change of tone from him calling for calm. But as we know with Donald Trump, David, one minute he can take one stance and it can all be changed with a tweet. This morning as well, here in the US, we saw his rival, the Democratic presidential candidate, Joe Biden, issuing a statement of his own saying, yes, it is right to protest against police brutality. But he said it is not right to engage in looting. It is not right to engage in violence. And he, too, called for calm.
Brian O'Donovan, RT's Washington correspondent. Thanks, as always, for joining us.